It wasn't the blaze of gunpowder, not the flame of torches, not even the fires left behind in British encampments scorched by retreat. No, the fire Nanny planted in the hills was quieter, hotter, longer burning. It smoldered beneath the soil, inside the bones of her people, in every breath taken between battle and breathlessness. It was a fire not seen, but felt. A fire that would not die with her, but one that multiplied. Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you The Fire She Planted in the Hills. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. This isn't a story about war. It's a story about what was left behind, about the kindling of identity, the flame of culture, and the heat of remembrance. This is about how Queen Nanny didn't just fight for freedom. She planted it, and every generation since has lived by its warmth. To understand Nanny's fire, you have to understand what it means to lose everything and still build. To wake up in a land that tried to erase you, and then grow roots anyway. The Maroons were survivors, but more than that, they were planters. Not just of food, but of spirit. When Nanny established Moortown, she didn't just build a refuge. She built a sanctuary. She didn't just mark out homes and cook fires. She designed a living memory. She etched the story of a stolen people back into the land. And every tree they planted, every ritual they restored, every child they named with an ancestral whisper, that was fire. Let's walk with her for a moment. It's early morning. Mist curls like smoke between the trees. The ground is damp but not cold. Nanny walks barefoot along a ridge overlooking the Rio Grande. She's not hunting, not planning ambushes. She's watching. She turns to a young girl beside her. "Here," she says, pointing to a clearing. "This is where we plant. Not yams, not cassava, but belief." She calls the others. They gather, warriors, mothers, elders. And together, they dig not just with hands, but with memory. They bury pieces of red cloth, shards of broken chains, carved wooden symbols of their ancestors. They water it with song. And when the tree grows, they say, "This one remembers." This is how a forest of freedom began to grow. You see, Nanny understood what colonizers didn't, that to truly resist oppression, you must build something else. Freedom is not the absence of chains. It's the presence of culture. And she built it, ritual by ritual, story by story, fire by fire. She planted fire in the way they named their children. Not by plantation calendars or English months, but by ancestral spirits, by dreams, by the rhythm of the drum on the day of birth. She planted fire in language. Even as English tried to colonize the tongue, she wove Ashanti phrases into everyday speech. She taught children to speak in riddles, to hide meaning in melody. She planted fire in food. They did not eat like slaves. They ate like warriors, like people who remembered their old ways. They seasoned with herbs the British feared, cooked in silence, shared meals not as survival, but as ceremony. She planted fire in song. Lullabies became maps. Chants became warnings. Work songs carried secret histories. And always the drum, always the heartbeat. But perhaps the fiercest fires she planted were the rituals. Nanny revived what slavery tried to kill. She brought back the festivals, the sacred bathing rites, the ancestor circles under moonlight. In Moortown, she taught that no one was born alone, that behind every birth stood seven spirits, your bloodline, your guides, your purpose. And before every battle, warriors were cleansed, not just of dirt, but of fear. They danced around fire. They inhaled smoke from burnt herbs. They whispered to their ancestors, "Walk with me. Fight through me." These were not performances. They were blueprints, ways to stitch the past into the present until the Maroons were no longer just survivors. They were descendants of flame. This is why Moortown still stands, because it was never just a village. It was a fireproof memory. British forces tried to burn it. Rainstorms tried to drown it. Time tried to erode it. But Nanny's fire wouldn't go out, because it wasn't built with wood. It was built with spirit. Let's fast forward for a moment. Centuries later, children still gather at the edge of Moortown to hear the elders speak. They sit cross-legged on dirt floors. No phones, no books, just voice, And the stories they hear are not written in history texts. They are lived, passed like flame from tongue to ear. The stories say Nanny still walks the hills, that where she once planted roots, birds still circle longer, that on the hottest nights, the air smells of burnt cloth and flowers. And if you close your eyes, you'll hear the fire breathing. Still, now let's bring it closer. What is the fire she left us? What do we carry today? It is more than ancestry. It is responsibility. To plant freedom wherever we walk. To build sanctuaries in places designed for suffering. To restore rituals in a world that only values efficiency. To make culture louder than colonization. Nanny didn't wait for permission. She didn't ask the British to respect her identity. She dug into the dirt and made her own nation. So here's your invitation. Ask yourself, what fire are you planting? Are you building memory? Or just surviving? Are you naming your days? Or letting them be named for you? Are you tending rituals? Or waiting for someone else to give you one? Because the flame she left behind is still here. It needs wood. It needs breath. It needs you. One last thing. They say that when Moortown was rebuilt after the war, Nanny stood at its edge and sang. Not loud, not long, but enough. She looked at the children, dirty, hungry, alive, and said, "We are not broken." Then she placed a single stone into the earth and walked away. That stone is still there. No one knows which one. But the elders say if you sit quietly, place your hand on the ground, and listen closely, you'll feel it. Warm. Steady. Like fire that refuses to die. Like history that refuses to forget. Like freedom planted.